Blessed are the pure in heart, who really clean up their act. Jesus encouraged people to be righteous. In fact, he consistently challenged ordinary people to be more righteous than the Pharisees, the most righteous people of his time. He said that the problem with the Pharisees was that they clean the outside of the cup, but the inside is full of wickedness. He wanted people to be pure or clean in heart. The word Jesus used for pure or clean in heart is recorded as kateros, a word that is used to describe winnowed wheat and unadulterated wine. It suggests unmixed motives. Jesus said that it was essential for anyone who wanted to be righteous to clean the inside of the cup thoroughly. To be perfect, he said, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Faced with Jesus' expectation, the obvious question followers of Jesus are forced to answer is, how in the world does Jesus expect us to be able to clean up our act to such an extent that we can be perfect? I think part of the answer to that question is in being clear about what Jesus meant by being perfect. The adjective used here is teleos, which is derived from the noun telos, which means purpose. Thus, what Jesus is expecting in terms of perfection is that we realize our potential, fulfill our purpose. We are created in the image of God to reflect the love of God in our lives as realistically as we can. So, as far as Jesus is concerned, for us to be perfect, we need to let the light of the love of God so shine in our lives that people will see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. Jesus' expectations of us have nothing to do with abstract faultlessness, but everything to do with concrete faithfulness. What is not so clear is how we can practice this concrete faithfulness. Most Christians suggest that at least part of Jesus' answer to the question is discipleship, following carefully in the footsteps of the Master and incorporating his virtues into our character. For it is in imitating Jesus that all of us can learn how to embody the virtues he incarnated. In the Sermon on the Mount, the traits Jesus advocated we incorporate into our character include humility, empathy, self-control, righteousness, mercy, integrity, nonviolence, and perseverance. Some Christian scholars, like Dallas Willard, believe that what Jesus was saying in the Sermon on the Mount was that his disciples needed to learn to distinguish between the higher ideals he advocated and the lower ideals his society advocated, and be committed to practicing his higher ideals. Thus, for example, Willard says, Jesus calls his disciples to practice the high ideal of no anger, rather than the low ideal of no murder. After all, Jesus said, you have heard it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. For example, anyone who says to his brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin, and anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. The trouble with this perspective is that the higher ideal advocated is not only completely unrealistic, it is also unbiblical. None of our examples of perfection in the Bible, not even Jesus, practiced no anger as a principle. Not only did Jesus get angry, on occasion he called his opponents fools. Christian scholars like Glenn Stassen and David Gushy believe that while saintly Christian scholars like Dallas Willard are right in asserting that what Jesus was saying in the Sermon on the Mount was that his disciples needed to be able to distinguish between the higher ideals he advocated and the lower ideals his society advocated, they have been wrong when it comes to identifying those higher ideals. They have identified unrealistic ideals that Jesus never advocated, and those of us who have tried to practice them have experienced profound disappointment. If we read the Sermon on the Mount carefully, we will notice that Jesus contrasts society's ideals with his ideals. He doesn't simply state society's lower ideals and then his higher ideals. Instead, he states society's ideals first. Then he identifies the vicious cycles of unresolved problems that society's ideals do not deal with second. And finally, he presents his higher ideals, which alone can solve the unresolved problems of the world, third. Jesus' higher ideals, which are actually very realistic, but incredibly creative, transformative initiatives, are to be found not in the second set of statements, but in the third set of statements. It is clear that the emphasis here is not in the second point, but on the third point. The imperative we are to take to heart is not an unrealistic no-anger policy, but a creative response to conflict resolution. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother or sister, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters, or make friends quickly with your adversary who's taking you to court. If we are to be pure in heart, according to the Sermon on the Mount, we need to reflect on the first set of points, consider the second set of points, and always act on the third set of points that Jesus makes. We're in a big mess. Jesus says that parading our piety, praying publicly and condemning other people, while nursing our lusts, being angry and abusive, returning evil for evil and abandoning our commitments to one another, only makes things worse. He tells us to clean up our act. We need to develop an unpretentious spirituality that quietly deals with temptation, gently encourages everyone in their desire to do right, loves all people, including those who hate us, and works creatively for real change in the world, for heaven on earth, by turning the other cheek, taking the plank out of our own eye, and being reconciled with all of our estranged brothers and sisters in the human family. Jesus says, all those who clean up their act by practicing his idealistic but realistic initiatives will see God. They certainly will. The pure in heart will see God reflected in everything they say and do.